Greetings, Moonlight citizens. It's your Moonlight King here with part two, night two of WrestleMania 40. WrestleMania 40. I don't know where that list came from. But yeah, we're going into it right here, right now. We are covering night two of WrestleMania 40. And we are finishing the story with Cody Rhodes. Let's get into it. To open the event, we had Stephanie come out and usher in the Paul Levesque era. And I gotta say, that is seriously annoying, man. Make up your minds with that, because in that same sense where she's ushering in like the Paul Levesque era of WWE, she then's like, no one knows this business quite like Triple H. And that bugged me, because there was this one episode of SmackDown where Triple H came down the ring, and his like title card said Paul Triple H Levesque. So I'm like, is he Paul Levesque or is he Triple H, man? Pick one. He's not The Rock. He cannot be both, man. Shit. Call him Paul Levesque or call him Triple H. If you're going to call him Paul Levesque, don't call him Triple H. If you're going to call him Triple H, don't call him Paul Levesque. Jesus, he's not the freaking artist formerly known as Triple H. Like, damn, man. What's going on here? Why is he being called Paul Levesque on TV when he's also being called Triple H? If you're going to call him Paul Levesque, just call him Paul Levesque. Don't ditch the fucking Triple H thing entirely if you're going to do that. Ugh. Anyway, moving on. Moving on from that. Right out of the gate, we got Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre coming out with this long line of bagpipe playing Scotsman on drums and everything, reminiscent of his entrance at WrestleMania 35 when he fought Roman. And Seth Rollins came out to... I don't know what the hell Seth Rollins came out as, man. It was him and like 30 other people. They look like the freaking Holly Jolly Follies from Tintin. That's the best I could describe it as. They were just this random assortment of, I don't know, people dressed as extravagant wedding cakes. You know, that's the vibe they gave. Like, something Cake Boss would be like, okay, this is a bit much. You know, like, just, dude, it was like the most extra entrance you could ever see in your life, man. And this all in the same week that I find out that at one point, apparently Seth Rollins filmed a softcore adult film. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't think it's coincidence. I don't think so, bro. I don't believe in those, man. Like, just saying, you know, like, it can't be a coincidence that this extremely extra old entrance that he's got comes out the same week that apparently it gets out that, oh yeah, he did some adult entertaining back in the day. Well, yeah, this of the soft variety, nothing heavy. Well, I don't know, I haven't seen it, but like apparently there's like a clip circulating online, but no, that's neither here nor there. So we get into the match, the Holly Jolly Follies go away, and I think there was a little Adam Rose reference there, because I remember CM Punk was on commentary and he said something about like there was a guy in NXT who had like this kind of entrance. Yeah, nice little Adam Rose reference there, but moving on. I was thinking that too, like, damn, man, like, so, like, oh, so that's what happened to Adam Rose's Rosebuds. Okay, moving on. Yeah, let's go on into that. Claymore out of the gate, Drew McIntyre, hit him with his big finish as soon as he could, try to get the win, you know, didn't get that pin, so they fight. Nothing really big to report on that front, and, you know, there's a few moments there where, like, Drew McIntyre is eyeing CM Punk, and he's on commentary, and you know you think they got a spot prep for like, oh, well, they're gonna go through the announce desk or something, but no, actually they don't do that. So they get back in the ring, and you know Drew McIntyre nails the Claymore, doesn't get the count, and he goes for it once more, and he gets it 1, 2, 3, and he wins. Remember, there was a point during the match where he was like on the side, and he like grabbed the phone and he tweeted something. And it turns out what he tweeted was, I think he tweeted boring day at work or something. I don't know. Boring day at work, lol. And then, so he wins the title. He walks up to the announce desk and he just wants to rub it in CM Punk's face. I remember because like, there was a point where he was like crossing the desk and he was saying something. And then CM Punk was like, I can't hear a word you're saying because I have these headphones on. I think he was like, I want you to know. And CM Punk was like, and I want you to know that I can't hear a word you're saying. Like, just. In the last review that I did of WrestleMania, I said to myself, man, when is this dude going to cash in? I straight up forgot he even had the briefcase. And it did, because after Drew McIntyre got laid out by CM Punk, who tripped him off the announce desk, you know, we got a brand new meme, ladies and gentlemen, a brand new, damn, Judgment Day is interrupting meme, because like CM Punk yanks him off the desk, and then we see them like pan around, and he looks at the aisle, and he smirks a little, like, what, Judgment Day is coming? Like, oh yeah. They got the briefcase, and he just won the belt. All right. And there's a shot later on where Punk is sitting on the announce table clapping when the results, because Damian Priest comes down and is like, I'm catching him right now. Nails that South of Heaven chokeslam. I don't think he's beaten anybody with that move prior to this, because normally that's a signature move that leads to, like, the Razor's Edge or, you know, something like that. Or his, like, I don't know what it's called, like Burning Arrow, something, I don't know. His other finish that he doesn't use anymore ever since Rhodes showed up. But yeah, but like he nails that move, 1, 2, 3, and he gets with it. I'm like, yes, yes, finally. About damn time, man. Damian Priest got the win. I said it even in the last video, man. When Damian Priest was in that Money in the Bank match, there was only two real winners that they could have had. Damian Priest or LA Knight. And then with Damian Priest, and I'm like, yes, absolutely, definitely, right call they made. I'm like, when are they going to pull the trigger? And they did. Boom. Straight to the heart of everybody in that arena. They pulled the trigger on Damian Priest. And man, when he ran up there, like he got that belt and he like ran right up the ramp, stood at the top of the stage with the rest of Judgment Day, raising the belt over his shoulders. It was beautiful. I know because I took a picture right after, like the moment it happened, I like took a picture and I posted it like, yo man, finally, dude cashed in his Money in the Bank. Finally. He, you know, he won the world title. It's about damn time. Whew. Man, that show started hot. Let's get into what happened next. Oh, man. Oh, man, hell of a way to start the show, eh? You thought this was going to be a street fight? You're damn right it is, because we got... Up next, we got a Philadelphia street fight between the Hurt Prophets, Street Business, Nation 2.0, or, as they're known, The Pride. Bobby Lashley and the Street Prophets going 3-on-3 in a street fight with the Final Testament, Akam, Razor, and Karrion Kross, accompanied to the ring by Paul Ellering and Scarlett. You know, oh, I forgot to mention, B-Fab is there too. Yeah, you remember B-Fab. You know, she was part of Hero. That team throughout its time run that accomplished zero. And now AJ Francis, or, you know, Flop Dollar over in TNA getting made fun of by, what's that guy's name? Oh, yeah. He's got that song, you know, like, say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Henry. That song is fucking catchy. And it's also fucking earworm. If you don't like it, you better like it, man. It's going to be in your head for days after you hear it. But hey, that's neither here nor there. Moving in, this was a solid match because we had Snoop Dogg on commentary. Snoop D-O-double-G. And that match was brought to you by Gin and Juice, of all things. So, yeah, it was fitting because that was the entrance song he had playing going in. And they heard that apparently him and Dre are working on something. That'll be interesting. Anyway, moving on. The match kicks off, and it's a solid brawl, man. Super on commentary is fucking funny, man. But, like, they pulled out a table, and he's like, they're bringing out picnic tables here? Like, oh, like he made, like, a Yogi Bear joke. Like, Yogi Bear. Man, that hasn't been relevant since. Dude, that hasn't been relevant since that crappy movie with T.J. Miller. Yeah, you got T.J. Miller in your movie. That's going to be a bit of a stretch, but it's kind of maintaining relevance, like given all the stuff going on with that guy. But that's neither here nor there. Moving in. Yeah, so they started beating up Bobby Lashley with sticks. No, Final Testament got the upper hand. They started beating up Angelo Dawkins with sticks, and swack, right out of the air, they caught, they caught poor Montez Ford with the stick, man. What's weird? Montez Ford has had a weird run, man. Like, there was a weird period wasn't during the pandemic. I think it was after that, where it was like, because I remember he was in one of the elimination chambers, and it seemed like they were really, and it seemed like he was going to be fighting for the U.S. title. I think it was a year ago. Like, yeah, like he was going to be fighting for the U.S. title, and they were really pushing him as a single star. And I love that they didn't do that cliche stick that they do, where like one of the members is starting to get over with the crowd and he's starting to gain some traction and going after singles titles and his partner is getting jealous. I love that they didn't do that, because like these two are that tight. But no, dude, him getting this, like Dawkins would understand realistically, be like, yo, my partner getting this success and all this attention is a net positive. It's not something to be jealous of, man. He's put in the work. He's earned this, you know, like, you know, shoot, like, and I love that. And it really did seem like, yo, man, Angelo Dawkins is on the come up as a single star, and he's back in the tag division, not as a demotion, but it's like, it's where they work best, because that's where he's with Dawkins, and they're like together, they're like unstoppable. And since they paired with Bobby Lashley, it's like, I've been a weird run. The Pride, when they first started, I'm like, are they heels? No, they can't be heels. They're over as great. They're over like crazy. And like, the crowd cheers them regardless what they do. So like, it seemed like WWE really wanted them to be this new heel faction. But coupled with the fact that everybody loves the Street Profits and that Bobby Lashley had just come back, it was like, no, we are not going to boo you, man. We're so happy to see Bobby Lashley back. And we've always loved the Street Profits, so that's not happening. But this final testament, this joining of Karrion Kross and Ellering and his buddies, Paul Ellering is back. That's a nice thing, I guess, because it was weird that he was ever gone. Like, why was he gone? So, like, we don't need Paul Ellering. Akam and Rezar can be their own thing. Wait, their English isn't that great. Drake Maverick can be their guy. Yeah, let's make Drake Maverick the manager. But, like, why? Why are they listening to this dude? Doesn't matter. They now have a mouthpiece. Did they achieve any success with this mouthpiece? Some. Okay, why couldn't they have achieved this with Paul? Shut up. Anyway, moving on. So, yeah. The fight was pretty good. That street fight was good. Got everything. We got kendo sticks. Got chairs. Got tables. Man, it was good. We had Bubba Ray as the freaking referee. And he at this moment where Karrion Kross stepped to him and he puts his freaking glasses on. That's like, yo, man, I may be dressed as a referee, but like I can still throw down. I'm still Bubba, man. You don't step to a guy named Bubba, man. Like, dude. Whew. Real fun match. Plenty to talk about. And yeah. Yeah, definitely worth a rewatch, man. What else? Man, what else can we talk about? Oh, yeah. What happens next? I'll talk about that. And on to the next match. It's AJ Styles versus LA Knight, the megastar. Yeah. One-on-one. And this match is Styles seeking to exhibit revenge on LA Knight for, in his eyes, costing him the Universal title at the Royal Rumble. When they were doing that five-way matchup, it was Randy Orton versus Styles versus Knight versus Roman. Oh, I guess it was a four-way. Must have miscounted that one. Anyway, and this is also Styles. No, not Styles. Knight. LA Knight. Yeah. Getting revenge on Styles for costing him a shot at the World Heavyweight title at the Elimination Chamber. These two men seeking to get the revenge on each other for all the wrongdoings they've caused each other over the months, and it's going to blow off here. Oh, so we get into it. I'm not going to go blow for blow with this one. It's just going to cover who wins, and you all know it, with everybody saying L.A. Knight. Yeah, the winner is none other than L.A. Knight, nailing the BFT in a rather pretty interesting callback to the thing that started all this. This whole thing started when LA Knight stopped AJ Styles from hitting his phenomenal forearm by knocking him off the ropes. And it ends with LA Knight ending this match by knocking AJ Styles off the ropes and hitting that BFT, Blunt Force Trauma. Get the win. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Man, I'm having fun with this one. Anyway, so that's all I got to say on that for the time being. Oh, wait a minute. No, it can't be. Surely there must be more. Surely I got some left to say. Nah, I don't think so. There ain't much to cover on this one, but let's move on to the next matchup. Yep. The next matchup being Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton versus Logan Paul, the United States champion, holding the title for, what, 100 and something days now? He won it way back. I think he won it from Ricochet. 100% certain on that one. The U.S. title hasn't had the most memorable of reigns these past few years, but you know he's had it for a while, and it's meant a lot. You know, like when someone steps up to try to take it from him, it means something. It's kind of like there was this weird thing that Seth Rollins did where he was like, you know, I'm here to like save WWE from the likes of you and something way back when. But that was years before he won the belt, or at least a year before he won the belt. That's timeline's not what it could be. So yeah, you know, Logan Paul came in driving this big old prime truck with this prime cannon firing fireworks off, and you know, Kevin Owens came in on a golf cart. We're repping ECW gear with like ECW letters on his pants, and he gave Randy Orton a ride on the like weird trolley thing that they have, you know, for like the Royal Rumble when the ramp is like really, really long. They have someone ride the trolley, and then they get halfway there, they get off, and then they walk the rest of the way so they can like do their entrance and so on. Yeah, that guy, that thing, you know, it even had like the stand at the back so that you could see the dude, you know, who was coming down. So yeah, this match, we got Orton, former United States champion, Kevin Owens, former United States champion. They're both looking to become champions once more. They've been teaming up. They've had a bit of a uneasy alliance. You know, they're both united in their dislike of one Logan Paul. And, you know, it seemed like that would be the theme. You know, like, well, this is a triple threat match. You know, every man for himself. But in this match, you know, there were several moments where it was very much a two-on-one match. You know, but, you know, in the end, you know, despite all the interference, you know, like, not interference, but, like, despite the back and forth between the two, the will they, won't they turn on each other, you know, despite them ganging up on Logan Paul, despite the interference from that guy, Speed, I don't know what his name is, but, you know, he got Sparta kicked by Randy Orton, you know, like, I can't wait to see Botchamania or the many edits of that moment, be like, have Randy Orton, you know, have the This Is Sparta thing playing over, but like, this is Mania! Bah! You know, kicks him right in the gut, RKO him right onto the table. Unfortunately, it did not break. No, he got what he deserves, man. That's what you get. You don't just be barking at people like that. Who you think you are, Titus O'Neil or something? Shoot. But yeah, you know, in the end, despite all that, it wasn't enough. You know, Logan Paul wins it. You know, he's got a pretty solid... Hey, that was a pretty solid match, man. Like, when Logan Paul gets in the ring, it's always a pretty good match. So... it's, you know, in the beginning, it's like, wow, man, it's so impressive. Like, someone so early in their career can have, like, these kind of matches. But, like, you know, now that he's been around for, like, a good year and change, and he's got a title, he's got a pretty long title reign on him, it's like, you know, it's not like the matches aren't impressive anymore. They're still impressive. It's like, yeah, now it's kind of shows, like, the shock of him being this outsider has worn off way, way back. Now he's a regular on the roster. And we can hold him to the same standards as everyone else. And he holds up really good. Like, Logan Paul's title reign has been, you know, it's, yeah, it's pretty good. It's better than most. There have been really forgettable title reigns. There have been times where, like, you'll see a picture of someone with the U.S. title and you'll be like, wait, he was U.S. champion at one point? Huh, when did that happen? Or you'll remember, like, yeah, this guy was U.S. champion, but I don't remember a single match that he had for the belt, you know, something like that. But yeah, you know, Logan Paul getting the win here, was it the right call? Yeah. Because, you know, like, there's still some steam in that, man. Like, they're still going on. Plus, Dale Prime just signed a deal with WWE, and they're, like, the main sponsor for WrestleMania. They got, like, the Prime logo in the center of the ring now. This is, like, the first sponsor since, like, Slim Jim to have this kind of sponsorship in a wrestling ring. You know, so, yeah, it was kind of evident that he wasn't going to lose the title so soon. I mean, it's 100 and something days in. It's not soon, but, like, you know, it wasn't going to lose it here. So, yeah. Yeah, this was a good match overall. I'll give it that much. It was a good match. Randy Orton, Logan Paul did good in the ring with Randy Orton, Kevin Owens. And the dynamic between Randy Orton and Kevin Owens was pretty good. And when he kicked that guy in the prime costume and, like,
He crumbles like an actual bottle, and like the top on the head thing, the cap came flying off. That was freaking hilarious.
And that pop up power bomb reversing into an RKO, that was cool. That was so cool. That was reminiscent of like Randy Orton back in the day when like WrestleMania 21 when he was facing the Undertaker and he went for the trunk slam and he reverses it into an RKO. That was awesome, man. That was so awesome.
Also, that that like splash Logan Paul does, that like toe touch, midair toe touch thing he seemed to be going for before he hits that splash. That's cool too, man. That's great too.
Whew, man. All right. On we go. Onward and upwards to further glory. Still not a fan of Bayley's rose plant move. Still view it as it's pretty clunky. I mean, like, I don't know, man. I get kind of what she's going for, like a kneeling Russian leg sweep. But, like, man, I don't know. A leg trap DDT has more, like, impact to it. But, like, this, I don't know. This doesn't seem like a move you finish a match with. It seems like the move you stun someone with before you hit them with the actual finish, you know? Say what you want about the Bayley to Bayley being a simple move, but like at least looked like it had impact. It looked like it was like when she like grabbed somebody and was like bam, it hit, you know. It felt like a finish. It was sold and treated like a finish, you know. That worked and it was believable and it fit her character and all these things. But this rose plant, I don't know, man. It just don't work for me. And as you can tell by this, what I'm talking about, that I'm covering the Bayley versus Io match. See, this feud has been building since I'd say Royal Rumble. Actually, not really, because it was after that that it really started kicking into high gear. When Bayley won the Rumble, and then like in the weeks leading up, we've been seeing some tension in the Damage Control. Like she was feeling like the odd one out. Candice LeRae was on the Candice LeRae. Because that's Miss Gargano, right? It was, damn, I can't remember her name. I don't know what her name is. You know, the other one. Not Asuka, not Kairi, not Io. The other one who's there. You know, I know it isn't Kairi. I don't remember who, but like that chick. The chick who's not Bayley. Damn, it was Io Sky and Dakota Kai. Yeah. Wait, is it Dakota Kai? I want to make sure I'm not getting this wrong, because like sometimes confuse her with someone else. Like, yeah. It was Dakota Kai. Dakota Kai. I confuse you sometimes with Candice LeRae. I don't know why, man. That's ridiculous. I can't gather why. What does Poison Pixie have to do with, you know, Dakota Kai, man? Nothing. So why did I get confused all the time? That's neither here nor there. So yeah. So thing is, when this match was happening, I'm just thinking one thing. Where was Damage Control? Where was Asuka? Where was Kairi? Where was Dakota? You know, where were they? Because in the lead up to this match, they were all in. It wasn't just a case of Bayley versus Io. It was Bayley versus Damage Control. And yet now, you think there would be something. You think there would be like, I don't know, messing with the referee or, you know, distracting the ref or, you know, some kind of interference to try and help, you know, to try and help Io. But, like, you know, there wasn't. When Io went out there, they were there with her, and she, like, sent them back. So I was like, huh, the heel is doing, like, the honorable thing and coming out by themselves? Like, okay. And this match didn't really feel like there was hatred between the two. It, like, I don't know, it just felt like a match, you know? They had this match, and there were some moments here and there where you could tell, like, oh, these people, like, they really, like, trying to batter each other. Like, Io was really, like, healing it up, going for the submission, and like when she reversed that initial rose plant attempt, that was a pretty cool spot. She hit that like splash, that like moonsault she does, and she has a really good moonsault. Like her, Tiffany Stratton, Charlotte Flair, Kurt Angle, they got some beautiful moonsaults on them. You know, like hers isn't quite up there with like, you know, like Stratton and Angle, but like it's pretty good. It's a pretty good moonsault. But like, you know, Bayley gets the win with the rose plant. Not a fan of that move, man. Not a fan of that move. It's just whatever, man. Like it's whatever. I guess it works for her. She makes it work. not as effectively as the last move she did, but like, you know, it was good. Bailey's entrance though, to go to like back up a bit, her entrance was good. Like I was watching this and I was thinking like, yo, is Bailey Egyptian? I don't really think about wrestlers' ethnicities, whatever, but I'm like, or nationalities, but I'm like, is Bailey Egyptian? Because she had like this Egyptian theme going on. Her gear was like blue with like gold trimmings on it, and she was carried by these four dudes. And I'm just thinking, she had like this like sun god Ra, or like, you know, something going on. She was like something out of, you know, Gods of Egypt, you know. And that's what was going on. I'm like, yo, is she Egyptian, man? Like, what's going on here? Like, is she Egyptian? Has she been Egyptian the whole time? Like, I don't know, because I don't really focus on that sort of thing. And I'm like, why are these four dudes carrying her on her shoulders? Couldn't they get like a sedan? Like, couldn't they take Baron Corbin's old sedan and use that? Huh? Couldn't they get Charlotte Flair's sedan and use that? Wait, Charlotte Flair had a sedan at one point, right? So Charlotte Flair gets a sedan and, you know, Baron Corbin gets a sedan, but Bailey, nah, we'll just have the dudes carry you on their shoulders. Yeah. That's what you get, because you're challenging for the title. You're not the champ coming in. And you're not Queen of the Ring either. So like, you just get carried on your shoulders. Whatever, man. Whatever. Yeah. So that was that. Now, whew, okay, there goes that match. The damage control feud that somehow managed to boil itself down to just Io versus Bailey. I've covered that. That was this pay per view doesn't have any bad matches, but like of the matches on the card, this is the one that, you know, it just, I don't know. I was least invested in, but like onto the main event we go. And now, ladies and gentlemen, your main event. We got Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. Bloodline rules. What is bloodline rules, you wonder? What could that possibly mean? What perilous disadvantage will our hero be under? Oh, it's an ODQ match. No disqualification, no countouts, you know, standard stuff. So it's like, I honestly thought that would mean something different. You know, I thought it meant like, yeah, it'll be bloodline rules, but like, it means like bloodline is at ringside. Like, Solo Sikoa will be like, I don't know, the special guest, the bell keeper, The Rock will be on commentary. Jimmy will be the referee or some shit. Like, really, really skew everything in their favor. But like, no. Roman and Rhodes just sort of had a match. So then, okay, what happens? The match happens, boom, 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 boom. And it seems like Cody's gonna win. I'm like, damn, no bloodline? Is the final match in Roman's reign gonna have no bloodline interference? I spoke too soon, because I'm thinking like, where's Solo? Where's Jay? Where's Jacob Fatu? Huh? Where's the rumored people who are going to be here? But no, boy, I spoke too soon, because out of nowhere comes Jimmy. Bam! Super kicks dude right in the face. And almost on cue, we get Uso! Just be Uso! And we get like main event Uso and his like little penguin walk he does to the does it top of the stage before he runs down. And they fight at the ramp. And then dude like tackles him off the stage through some tables. And then Solo Sikoa shows up, and then out comes John. His name is John Cena. We haven't seen John Cena in so freaking long. He comes out and he gets revenge on Solo Sikoa for what happened at, was it Crown Jewel or Super Showdown? Crown Jewel. Yeah. He gets revenge for Crown Jewel. Oh my goodness, man. He gets the revenge, and it's so sweet. And then, hey, Fistma, out comes The Rock, the final boss, and he's got beef with Cena. Nails him with the rock bottom, tosses him out of the ring, and he's standing there. You know, Roman, Rhodes are laid out. He's the only guy standing there, and then, bang. It's very clear that, not very clear, but like, there's a rumor floating around that this was supposed to be Stone Cold, but a deal couldn't be made, so they had The Undertaker come in instead, even though he's had nothing to do with the story. Even Stone Cold has nothing to do with the story. You know, they could have slotted in who had something to do with the story, something to do with, who also has beef with the bloodline, who also wants to maybe see Cody Rhodes succeed, Randy Orton. And I know they could have done that because he was there earlier in the night. Not only that, but he shows up later in the night. So still, they could have had Randy Orton come in, RKO, and then bounce. You know, they could have had that. I mean, I don't know if he's got beef with... I wouldn't be able... I think they wanted it to be like, yeah, he wants to stop the interference, but also has history with The Rock. So Randy Orton, the closest thing he's got history with The Rock is like WrestleMania 20. So like he could have worked. He could have worked in that slot. Another option would have been LA Knight. You know, it could. He could have had him jump in there and potentially set up a beef with The Rock down the line. You know, LA Knight, The Rock, one-on-one with the great one on the mic. You know, yeah. Shit. That's something I would have loved to see. But anyway, man, we didn't get that. We got The Undertaker coming out of nowhere, choke slamming The Rock, and then get all the way out with The Rock, because the ring is clear when he eases out. So yeah. And then the match continues as normal. Cody Rhodes gets the win with the Crossroads, nailing three in a row with the 1, 2, 3. Oh man, it felt so good when he got that win. I'm like, yes, he did. He freaking did. I was so happy because like I remember when before the match started, I'm thinking to myself, yo, if he loses, I'm going to actually cry. Like, there's no way. There's a part of you in your mind that's like, there's no way he loses, right? No way. Surely this is it. This is where the story ends. This is when we get the definitive end finish to the story. Because, you know, this was the plan all along, right? But at the same time, there's that creeping suspicion in the back of your mind. That thought in the back of your head, like, yo, they might not do this, you know. They might have something else planned. They could really just say, hey, we're going to try to break San Martino's record. We're going to get Reigns up to X amount of days, and then we're going to break the thing, kind of like we did with Gunther, because we'll never get this close again. That's an option, but I'm so glad it's an option that they did not take. Because, man, if they did that, and Reigns lost, and we got the Mama Rhodes prophecy of like Rock actually giving dude's mama the belt, I would have cried. There's no, wrestling doesn't really make me cry much, man. I haven't cried at a wrestling thing since Kofi, but like this would have made me cry. Like, geez, dude, I don't think I can take this anymore. But still, man, like this, then I would have been one of the damn Cody cryberries. But I'm not. Luckily, the story was told. Cody got a chance to finish his story and give his mama the belt. He handed the belt to his mama like he said he would. And in this beautiful moment, everybody came out. They hoisted him on his shoulders. They celebrated like, yeah, man, you beat Roman Reigns. The bloodline is finished. I mean, that wasn't clarified. But like, yeah, it may as well have been, man. Let's see, because he had everybody on his shoulders. The whole roster emptied out. Everybody who's ever had beef with the bloodline was here. They were so happy. Brandy was here. You know, I mean, dude, it was so beautiful. Oh, man. We had like John Cena, CM Punk, Randy Orton, all them in the ring celebrating with Cody. Oh, it was such a beautiful thing. Sami Zayn was there. Jay was so great. Oh man, this was the perfect way to end the show, man. This was this moment, like just having them all there, the victims of the bloodline, all coming together, assembling and helping Cody take down Roman Reigns because he was the one to do it. They knew like he was, if anyone could, he was the one who could. That was beautiful. That was perfect. That was a, years-long story coming to an end, finally. From Payback 2020 all the way till WrestleMania 2024. That is just, that is some long-term storytelling. You know, it wasn't the plan from the jump. We definitely know it wasn't the plan from the jump because Cody wasn't around. So, you know, and the plan ultimately changed once he arrived in 2022. So we'll never know what the original plan was to end the whole, you know, Roman Reigns title reign, but at least we know that we have a definitive ending now. It was all worth it. And I agree, I did have some doubts. I was one of those people who thought like maybe the reign should have ended a year earlier, you know, at that moment. And I was mad when it didn't. I was totally caught off guard. I was like, what are you doing, man? But like now that I see the ending and I see how it all shakes out, I am happy. I am content. I am pleased with the outcome. I am satisfied. It's like, I don't know, man. It's like a good Thanksgiving meal, man. You are filled to the brim, and you can just kick back with your big old bloated stomach and be like, yeah, what a WrestleMania. This was WrestleMania 40, night two, ladies and gentlemen. I love this shit. Like, also give props to Roman Reigns. Gotta give props to Reigns. His title reign, he was the longest reigning champion of the modern era, of this decade. Because, you know, the modern era as a whole, his title reign beginning with defeating not Bray Wyatt, he defeated Braun Strowman. He did not beat Bray Wyatt. Let's get that out of the record. Beating the likes of Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar, Kevin Owens, you know, Matt Riddle, and so Jey Uso twice, mind you, in a first in an amazing Hell in a Cell Light Court match, and there was also the match before that at Night of Champions. And then there was the match at SummerSlam, which was a great match ruined with a terrible ending. So many fantastic matches. His matches with Drew McIntyre, you know, his match with Sami Zayn had so much emotion to it. There were several moments where it generally felt like, yo, this is it. This, they're going to do it. This is the guy. You know, this is the guy. But now that Reigns has lost its belt and, you know, his title reign has come to an end, we can look back and say, like, that was a great title reign, man. It was one of the longest lasting, one of the most effective belts. Every match he had was, like, main event worthy, if not already in the main event. Every opponent he had it with was like at main event level. If they went, like, if they went, they surely were raised to it. I absolutely infuriated with the Austin Theory side road with his Money in the Bank and his botched catchings and all that. But I'm kind of glad that match never happened. But yeah, man, Roman Reigns is title reigns come to an end. The era of the bloodline, the story of the bloodline comes to a close at the very least for now. And Cody Rhodes is the Renaissance era, the new era of WWE, the new beginning for the WWE universe, a new dawn, a new day, a new age under the reign of Triple H. Oh man, so many. For the first time, WrestleMania closes and it truly feels, WrestleMania has an ending and it truly feels like an ending, like a year of a WWE calendar year has officially come to an end. All the stories that were going on the year previous and, you know, leading into this have wrapped up. And now we can move on to new things, you know, new faces, new stories, new matches, so much new, a new generation, if you will. Not the new generation from the 90s. That was kind of whack, but like untold possibilities. That's what we got. That's what we got in store for us right here with Cody Rhodes as the champion here. What a show. Top to bottom. I mean, night one had its moments. Night one had some fun matches. Night two has some fun matches. And, you know, but like night one's matches were way more fun. And then like, way more interesting with like the main event. Like, and this one, if night two was a movie, it would be the movie where like the last act, like the last 30 minutes, like kick into in such an insane high gear that it overshadows everything that came before. And that's totally what's happening here. So, yeah. This has been the Moonlight Kingdom Reviews for WrestleMania XL Night 2, WrestleMania Sunday, WrestleMania 40. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. I've been your Moonlight King, and yeah, you know, see you in the next one, I guess.